Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
Still 42 degrees in Reno. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday 9 to noon. Johnny W. is a nationally touring comedian whose hilarious blend of storytelling and offbeat stand-up has made him a favorite in comedy clubs across the country. He's appeared on Prime Video, a dry bar comedy special that racked up over 10 million views. Johnny W.'s live show is the kind of experience you'll be quoting on the ride home. Hello, Johnny W.
How you doing this morning? We good?
All right. Yeah, I'm good. I appreciate you coming out to the Carson City studio to talk with us about your show. Now, you're appearing tonight at the Carson Nugget.
That's right. I'm excited. Two shows, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. So we're still some tickets available. Come on out, man. Let's go.
Johnny W., I'm not the first to ask you, what's the W stand for?
My last name is hard to pronounce, so I shortened it down to W when I started doing comedy, make it easier for everybody. My last name is Baxter, and it just made sense to do it. No. My last name is Wethington, but which seems easy, but you'd be amazed how many people butcher it. So.
Oh, yeah. 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 Man, so, with me, they butcher me. Potter, yeah. I'm Porter.
You're Porter? Yeah.
I know it's not Porter, but they say that. You know, I relate. You live in Nashville.
Music City, that's right. Yeah, I moved there about 20 years ago, and it's exciting. It's a great town. Have you ever been to Music City? Been to Nashville?
A couple of times, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's a great town. It's cutthroat. I had no idea. I moved out there to pursue music, and it is tough. And my favorite idea, I was going to, you know, meet all my favorite country stars. I was like, I couldn't wait, you know. And I lived there probably 10 years before I saw the first one. I saw Kenny, this is true, 2015, I saw Kenny Rogers coming out of the Home Depot. Kenny Rogers. And I don't know if you saw Kenny towards the end, but it looked like he may have had some work done. And
yes.
And I'm not judging, man. If it makes you feel better and you got the cash cut away, it doesn't bother me. I'm just saying, if you're his surgeon and you got those jowls pulled back tight, like, you got to know when to hold them.
You not got to know when
and
to hold
them. And when to fold them. And yeah.
I'm sorry. I should never step on a comedian.
No, come on. It's fine. You're good.
Up already. Now, okay, your bio reads, Johnny lives with his lovely wife, Curry, in Nashville because that's where all their stuff is.
That's right. That's how it works. Yeah. We've been on the road so long. This last stretch, I think I was home 3 or 4 days in September and about 3 or 4 days in October. So we go home to do laundry now. But yeah, all of our stuff is still in Nashville. But we're burning the road up right now. Yeah.
Aside from Nashville, somebody told me you riff on, you sound like a Southern comic here. You riff on Cracker Barrel. Are you like a country comedian?
Well, a little bit. You know, I grew up, honestly, where I live is a town called Lebanon. It's just east of Nashville, about 20 miles east of downtown. That is Cracker Barrel headquarters. That's the home base. That is, you know, armed guards and, you know, fountains and lake. I mean, I'm serious. Like, Cracker Barrel headquarters is in Lebanon, Tennessee. The first Cracker Barrel came from Lebanon. So if you've ever enjoyed biscuits and sawmill gravy, that came from the town I live in now. So
sawmill gravy, is that a thing, really?
Or it's a real thing. I don't know why it's called sawmill. It sounds like it's got sawdust in it. It doesn't. It's a good gravy, I promise. It's an edible product, but sawmill gravy is a thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your deal with Cracker Barrel was, because we just got one in Reno.
Oh, yeah. My deal is? What's America's deal with Cracker Barrel? It's an amazing place. Come on, get in there, get your golf tees, and see if you can, you know, leave only one. That's your whole thing, right? You got those little games they have at the tables. So Cracker Barrel is going to change your life if you haven't experienced it yet. Get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nashville. Somebody on. I got to bring this up. Somebody on Reddit just asked, where are the worst drivers in the U.S.? And there were like, Johnny, there were like thousands of replies. And of all places, you know where I'm going here, Nashville, of all places,
was
the top vote getter of the worst drivers
in
the
about.
U.S. Now, what's your reaction to that? You've been there 10 years.
I've been driving around all over the country for the last 15 years doing this job, and I'm more likely to tell you who the worst roads are. You know, like, Ohio has the worst roads that I've ever experienced. But drivers, yeah. I think it's about, like, maybe it's a metropolitan city and there's more people that come from all over, and so they're just aggressive. Like, you know, we have a lot of people who move from big cities to Nashville to kind of chase their dream. And so maybe that's the deal, is they're just, like, aggressive. And there's a lot of traffic now. I don't know. I don't have a reason. I don't have a defense of my fair city, but I would say maybe somebody's got a beef with Nashville. Maybe a lot of people just have it out for us, but I've not noticed it's any worse than anywhere else I've been. But I think there's bad drivers everywhere, if we're honest.
Actually, every city I lived in, all the people would tell me, oh, you know, our city's the worst for driving. And they say that about Reno. I don't know.
Everybody thinks they have the worst highway construction and the worst drivers. Yeah.
Right, right.
We're all just upset. So
here's a review from one of your shows. Johnny is the real deal, funny enough to knock him dead in a club setting, and clean enough to perform for your grandma. So you're a clean comic?
Yeah, and listen, if you want to bring your grandma tonight, she could play slots, and then she could come on to the show. I mean, what's better than that? Get your cup of nickels and then come into the show later. I don't know. Do what you do.
Well, hallelujah. You know, to me, I love comedy, and I will watch, you know, or try to watch the hot new comics on HBO.
Yeah.
And when they come out with these F words and the P word and the C word.
Right.
Oh, man, it kills it for me. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Because I am literally my father's son. We couldn't say damn. We couldn't say shut up.
Yeah.
Or even the term I don't like. We couldn't even say that. That was my dad. And honestly, Johnny, I think it kills comedy to use those words.
Yeah, there's something about, I think I have faith that kind of informs my comedy, but also I think I grew up watching Seinfeld and Brian Regan and some of those guys, and now Gaffigan, and of course Nate Bargatze is the biggest comedian in the world right now, and he's a clean comic. And so, I mean, families are coming from all over the country to see his shows. He's doing basketball arenas. So I think there is a demand right now for something to do with the whole family, and I'm hoping to kind of fill that niche. It's been super fun to watch entire families come and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
A grandma, the kid, the grandkid. It's pretty neat.
And you do comedy shows in churches.
I've
never heard of that. What's that like?
It's cool.
Church humor like?
I don't know. I don't really do a different show in churches. I talk a little bit more, and if I'm doing a church, I'll talk a little bit more about my church upbringing, maybe. If I'm in a club, I wouldn't do some esoteric church reference that only church people would get. So I might have 10 minutes of like, hey, church folks, we can talk about this. But I don't really have like a super churchy show. I think if you just do like communion wafer kind of comedy, it feels kind of corny. You know, I don't have references that only church people. But I think it's really the same. I mean, church folks now, they watch Netflix too. They just saw Brian Regan's latest special. They just saw whatever Nate Bargatze's latest special. So their standard of comedy is pretty high. So you got to bring it in a church the same way you'd bring it in a comedy club.
Oh, honestly. I know. Even the religion. I know a Mormon family. They watch South Park on TV. They let the kids watch South Park because it's funny. You even do a bit on a weird church lady. I didn't have time to play that bit. What's that all about, the weird church lady bit?
Yeah, this is a true story. A lady came into a church near Tulsa. They were a tambourine kind of church, which I grew up in a tambourine kind of church. You're very much in danger during worship of being hit by a banner or a tambourine in my church. We're wild. And so she grabs this tambourine, starts playing it. This really happened. And they asked her to come down. The usher came down and asked her to stop. I guess she wasn't very good at the tambourine. They asked her to stop playing. And I always tell my audience, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was a white lady. But anyway, the usher came down, asked her to stop playing because she wasn't good at the tambourine. And they escorted her into the lobby where they pepper sprayed and tasered her. And that really happened. They don't play around in Oklahoma. And the news was there. And they said to the guy, like, what were you doing? And he said that she wasn't acting very Christianly. And I said, what Bible are you reading? You know, what is where it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You're like, yeah, but stay ye on the beat or we shall electrocute thee. And so that's how they play in Tulsa, man. They're wild out there. Yeah.
So, okay. So you kind of make fun of the Christians, but they all take it in good stride.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got, it's funny. Every subculture has its little picadillos. Everybody has their idiosyncrasies. So
relatable.
Yeah. And so if I'm in Carson City, I'll make fun of, you know, whatever's going on in Carson City. If I'm in a church, I'm going to talk about, hey, I'm one of you, but there's some weird stuff about us. Let's get into it. You know, I think that's what comics do.
So definitely a clean comic. So Craig there can take a break. You know, he sits in Carson City with his hand over the dump button. Man, we had the UFC fighters in here once, and poor Craig, he got a calloused hand from that dump button. So, all right. Well, give us a... And I don't want you to use up your best stuff here because
no.
People... Okay, give us a little sample of... Johnny W. Stand-up for us.
Oh, wow. This is... I don't like being put on the spot like this.
Like I'm a comedy club owner, and I want to see what you can do in 30 seconds here.
All right. Well, let me just tell you. I just got back from North Dakota. This is real. I got back from North Dakota, and I'm from Tennessee, so people think they don't have an accent in North Dakota. They think my accent is adorable. And so this lady's like, your accent's precious. Where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Tennessee. And she was like, oh, do you date your sister? That's really what she said. And I was like, no, we broke up. And cool it, lady, you know. And I'm kidding. We're still together.
That's great.
We make it work in Tennessee. Focus on the family. That's what we say. And so, it's going to be a great show. I'm excited to share some comedy with everybody tonight. Come on out. It's going to be some stand-up, some one-liners, we got all kinds of cool things. I got music that I do in my show. I play and sing in the show.
Yeah, what's this? I mean, you have a guitar and you wrote some songs.
Yeah,
and...
I got some funny songs I do. It's just, it's a little bit of everything. So it's going to feel very in line with what you would imagine a casino show to be. Very variety show. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Love this. You're a rare bird, a very clean comic who performs in churches at the Carson Nugget.
At the Carson Nugget. Come on now.
Just tonight only, right?
Tonight only, 6 and 8 p.m.
6 and 8 p.m., folks. Go to ccnugget.com. Get your tickets for Johnny W. appearing tonight at the Carson Nugget. Johnny, thanks for going to our Carson studio and talking with us.
Of course. Enjoy it. See you soon.
All right, my friend.
Hey, John. I've got 5 pairs of tickets for tonight's
I knew this
show.
Was coming.
You did, didn't it. You?
Yeah.
5 pairs to the first 5 texts received with Johnny W. and then your name, the texter's name, just so that I can put you down on the list.
All right. So text folks, 775-884-9910. Put your name there. And what else do you need, Craig? The number? Phone numbers they have?
Just text 884-9910, 775-884-9910.
And you will respond to the 5 who win.
Correct.
Everybody else who did not get a response from Craig, if you didn't make the first 5, definitely go to ccnugget.com and get your tickets for Johnny W. Great. Super. Awesome. That was fun. We're going to take a break. I'll be back shortly on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:19.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday from 9 to noon on these radio stations. Current temperature, are we still 42? Let me see here. Oh, boy, we just did 43. 43 degrees in Reno. Yes, it's chilly. The cats, I don't have to go out in the backyard and call them in this weather. They only spend about 2 minutes outside. Things are getting easy at home. 43 degrees, but today is going to be warmer than what we had yesterday. And we try to stay very local, and this has a local aspect to it. This news story this week, excuse me, about a change at Walgreens. They had a list of company holidays, and like most companies, stores, you know, they had 5 or 6 days, holidays usually, that you, if you work there, you in effect got the day off with pay on these holidays. And, you know, it's like many of our workplaces, you get those off with pay. Yeah, I know you know what's coming here, right? Or you could take a comp day or whatever like that. Because of the holiday. But this week, Walgreens said, those days are going away. you are welcome to take the day off, but you won't get paid. They'll pay you for the holiday if you work the holiday, which means screw you, Walgreens. I know that, like, business is business, and we know that they've got millions of dollars in this and that they all have to manage in this economy and such. But again, I go back to, like I did with the SNAP benefits, promises, okay? Promises made ought to be promises kept and valued. Hardworking employees are really, at least it was in my time when I started working in radio and television, employees are really, or were, really family members, and they ought to be treated as such. And, you know, Walgreens, like all those, you know, chain drugstores, is experiencing difficulties, no doubt. And I understand that. But to back off on a policy like that, here's the deal. My thought is you better go out of business next month, because if you are anything short of knocking on bankruptcy's door and you would do your employees that way, then I have nothing but disrespect for you. Now, again, not every place gives you paid holidays off. Some places they can't, and they never offered it in the first place. You know, some small businesses that never made much would say we can't. That's just not the way we operate here. And I can take someone like that a lot better than I can somebody who is backing off on a promise. If you worked at Walgreens last year, they gave employees paid holidays off. They gave that to you. Thank you very much. But now, if last year you were worth six holidays and now you're worth zero, it just kind of lets you know, man, I committed to my job here, but, you know, maybe I should have done something else. And I hate seeing stuff like that, because then other companies in the same type of business will copy that, and our relationships with our employees and managers will all just go to hell. So I think they should be embarrassed and brought up publicly on that. I don't think anybody locally has reported on that. Well, I'm doing it, and I think it's shameful of Walgreens. Let me check. Hold on a sec. Oh, okay, good. No Walgreens commercials coming up. Not in trouble. Our phone number, 775-884-9910. I ranted on, what was it? Oh, socialism before the comedian. If you have something to say about that, because, you know, they voted in D.C. Who's for socialism and who isn't? You could guess who isn't. And on this Walgreens thing, I'd like to hear your take on it. So anyway, we're going to take a very short break. We have Fox News, and Greg Neft has local news. And then it's you. You are next, whatever you want to bring up, because it's all open topic for the next half hour. So I'll be back after the news. All right, cool. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time coming up on 11:30.
Is FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Glad you tuned in. Current Reno temperature, 43 degrees. Nice and cool. I'm John Potter. I have a question for you. Where are the Christmas decorations? It's late November. I thought I would see some by now. Yes, I like starting the season early. And right now, you drive down the street, and Halloween stuff is still up. That's fine. You like your Halloween stuff. That's cool. But you come into my house, and you're probably going to say, John, I see your Christmas tree is up. It's too early. Yeah. Why? Why is it too early to put Christmas stuff up? Thank you, Craig, for the bells. We got Christmas music in the stores, but I guarantee if I say that we put up the Christmas tree already, people are going to say, and they have,
Oh, it's too early.
But why would you wait till Thanksgiving to put all your Christmas stuff up? You have all this stuff in your attic and the crawl space, the basement storage unit taking up space all year, and you're going to limit it to 1 month? I don't think so. I am all about enjoying the holidays. I absolutely love it. Last night, you know, we're sitting in the living room. We didn't have the TV on. We were just talking. And the Christmas tree was on, and I was like, oh, this is really so beautiful. This is great. I don't think it's too early. I usually have it up early November. It's not hurting anybody. Am I crazy for already having my Christmas decorations up? And what do you say to people who are already listening to the Christmas music? Because that's me.
That's me right there. Merry Christmas.
And we yes, Merry Christmas. I've been listening to Christmas music all month. I love it. There's a SiriusXM Christmas channel, and it's on in our vehicles. And the holiday season gives me this great feeling of a joy, of optimism. You feel like a kid again. And there's also a very, spiritual meaning of Christmas. Why do we want to restrict that to such a small portion of the year? Why can't it be a two-month celebration? And why can't Thanksgiving be a part of it? I never understood the wait until Thanksgiving's over thing. And my wife and I, we pay for a storage unit to hold all our Christmas stuff, and I want to get as much as we can out of it. So what's your code when it comes to Christmas decorations? What's your line of demarcation for holidays? I mean, when you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving dinner and you see the Christmas tree up, does it irk you a little bit? You know, growing up, our family, dad would wait until after Thanksgiving. And I just always thought it was too late. What are we doing? Why are you waiting so long to put all this great stuff on display? It's a joyous time of year. It's festive. And the meaning, the birth of Jesus, and why do we have to wait till December to celebrate that? And, you know, I think if you're over 20, and I think that's almost all of you, Christmas to you and me honestly does not seem as special as it did when we were kids. Because when I was a child, and we're talking the 1960s, the 1970s, and, of course, mentally, even here in 2025. I most certainly am a child. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. But for you, me, maybe for you, Christmas had a certain magic to it. We know that Santa Claus exists. And I only developed doubts about that when I was about 22 years old. But Santa Claus absolutely exists. And we all know that, 100%. But as a kid, it was all about Santa Claus. It was all about looking through the JCPenney or the Sears catalog with your mom and saying, I'd like this. Maybe I'd like this. Oh, I'd like this. This looks good. And then figuring out what might arrive on Christmas courtesy of Santa Claus. We always figured, that mom had some direct line to Santa Claus. So we told mom, thinking that she had his personal email address, which is interesting because when I was a kid, we didn't have things like email. We had to send letters, licking a stamp and everything, because there weren't even self-adhesive stamps back then. I digress. So anyway, when do you begin thinking seriously about Christmas? I already am. Even though it's lost a lot of its magic for me, I do look forward to the big day, even though it is not and is never going to be like it was in the old days. Now it's different. It's like a time for reflection. I think it's time for looking ahead to the new year and giving your thanks for the blessings. Let's go to Kurt calling from Reno on that and other things. Hey, Kurt, I'm glad you called. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, John. Hey, last week when you were on your soapbox, one of the subjects you were talking about was the film tax credit, which I'm sure you know went down to glorious defeat. But I had a a suggestion because I'm sure this thing's going to come back again the next legislative session. And that would be, why don't we share in the profits of a major successful production, movie or TV? It's not a tax per se. It's just, hey, we're getting a percentage of the profit from something that's very successful. And for that, in the law, if it ever winds up getting passed, mm-hmm. you know, we've given you tax benefits. How about sharing a little bit in the profit of this
production? That ideally would be great if we had thought of doing this 25 years ago, Kurt. I want you to do something. Your favorite movies, or movies especially. Go on imdb.com and look up where that movie was filmed at. Hollywood is a disaster right now. I think I heard something like 60% of all film productions are now not even done in California anymore, because decades ago, the movie studios figured out that California is expensive. And so then they moved to Georgia. States like Georgia actively sought the filmmakers, and I guess they got studios all set up in Georgia. Everything I watch on Lifetime.
Yes, I watch Lifetime.
Every single one of those movies is filmed in Canada. Every single one, even though the setting is California or somewhere else in the United States. They even put that in the title when the movie opens, but you look it up, it's not filmed in California. It's in Canada. It's in Georgia. It's in Florida. It's in Estonia. They're making movies in Estonia, which all these places are cheaper than we would make it, but we missed our chance. You know, we were the state next door. Nobody thought of going after that business. If we went after that business now, it'll be just, I think, a smaller fraction for sure.
Hey.
And, you know, Reno tried this. The convention authority, they set up a movie studio at the convention center, and this happened, 15 years ago or 10 years ago? It bombed. Yeah. We even had movie actors coming to Reno talking up about what a great thing this was, and it just didn't work out.
Do you remember a movie called Bad Teacher with Carmen Diaz?
Heard of it. I didn't see it.
Very, very funny movie. But anyway, that's the premise of what I'm talking about, because she took a low salary and wound up sharing the profits to the tune of $40 million. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Hollywood actors, actresses started, okay, I'll go that route. And, you know, the idea was born and took off. So, you know, it's something that I think they should look at. Now, the other point I wanted to talk about was this last item that came up in our glorious special session got snuck in there by the Democrats, and that is mail-in voting.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be a constitutional amendment now.
Constitutional
amendment. My question.
Yeah.
My question.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Kurt. We have a question here.
Is, where's our Republican leadership on this? I don't care if it's the county, city, or state. I think the Republican leadership is lacking immensely.
Well, okay. I don't know if I can blame them totally, because this was sprung up in the absolute final hours. I think if the Republican leadership didn't know about this, that the Democrats were going to spring up. And of course, they hold the majority in both the Nevada House and Senate and got this thing through. Nobody could really prepare for it. I know, working the news here on weekdays, there was no word of this the day before. They sprung it up on the final day, by the way, of the Nevada legislature. There was no way to prepare against it. Now, Kurt, it's not a sure thing. The Republican leadership can challenge it in the next legislative session. And that's really all they voted for, to move this forward to the next regular session in 2 years. And then if that regular session approves it, then it just is a question on the ballot for the voters to decide. So I'm not all that threatened by it now, but I understand why.
It's also veto proof.
Well, then there's even more reason to rise up against this, but we certainly have plenty of time to do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for taking my call.
Do you have your Christmas decorations up?
Starting today.
All right.
All tree right, goes up tonight.
All right. Thanks for calling, my friend.
All righty.
All right. Yeah, some of those Lifetime movies are really good. They film them in Canada. Can't believe I confessed to stuff like that. Anyway, open topic. Our next segment is the last one. I know you want me here till 6 p.m., but rules are rules. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1144.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
All right. It's 1148, John Potter, live and local, just checking the texts. Got a bunch. I never really have time to go through these the day of, but next Saturday we usually answer them. Hey, John, says one. Marjorie Taylor Greene is retiring one day after her lifetime benefits kick in. Check it out. Okay, fine. It's her right to do that, you know. Something, you know what, the last caller reminded me, like I said, we were too late to go after that big Hollywood money with other states getting all the film money from California. You know what else we were late on? And me being the Christian and conservative I am, this may surprise you. But when this first started about gay marriage legalized, we should have been the first state to offer legal gay marriages. I think there were four or five, six states that beat us to it. But my gosh, we're the tourism state. We're the live and let live state. And we needed a boost in tourism. That would have been something to jump on, literally. okay, back to Christmas. Please put those decorations up. And another thing that reminds me of, do you recall when there was a time in our society when people didn't think anything of saying Merry Christmas? And there came a time where Merry Christmas came to what seemed like a very abrupt end. You know, cities like Reno, when they promoted their Christmas tree lighting, they called it the holiday tree. When you went out and did your Christmas shopping, did you get a Merry Christmas? Thank you for shopping here. They would say, they'd say things like, there's only 15 days left until Christmas. They could use it that way. But people, the store employees, could not say Merry Christmas to you. And that always struck me as a bit weird. And by the way, none of my many Jewish friends I have would say that they were offended at all by hearing somebody say to them Merry Christmas, and they did not take it as some kind of anti-Semitic assault whatsoever, and they still don't. But then there was a bit of a backlash against the erasure of Christmas from retailers and stores, and I'm not sure how widespread it's going to be this year. I don't know if Reno is going to call that tree the I remember it was the holiday tree for a couple of years. And then I think the last 2 years they reverted back to Christmas. They must have gotten some flack for that. But it was kind of really a dumb thing. And I'm gonna throw in a bonus question because I've never done this one before. When people ask me, you know, when my wife, my friends ask me, what do you want for Christmas? I tell them absolutely nothing. I have everything I've ever wanted. There is no reason for you to add clutter to my life. Actually, take offense to it. I am in want or in need of absolutely nothing at all. I don't want them to spend their money on me because I don't need anything. And possessions, folks, at my age, I finally realized possessions are totally overrated. So when you tell people not to buy you anything, do they mean it? Are you saying that to be polite? Because when I say that, I absolutely do mean it. My bride did violate that last year, but it was okay because she got me some stuff that I didn't know that I needed, but I did. like that Course in Charm and that book on listening, things like that. But I'm getting older now, and a lot of people in my life, they have everything they want. They say they don't want all this stuff. But I also knew that there were things that they did want, but they would not spend the money on it. So you can kind of narrow it down by giving them a gift card for that place that had the stuff that they wanted. That is the only time I buy gift cards. The only time. And before I go any further with my little thing here on gift cards, will you allow me to confess that I have given on many occasions gift cards, and I don't know why I've done it. A gift card is basically cash with handcuffs. You know, for example, with Mom, I would get her a gift card to Macy's because that is where she shopped, and I knew she was going to use it, as opposed to giving Mom cash, which I thought would be tacky. You know, oh, look, she gave me cash. Oh, well, I'm giving her cash. What do you know? Evens out. Why do we do that? We could have just not even bothered. Hey, Mom, I love you this much. John, I love you too this much. Okay, great. Let's have a nice Christmas. But I'm curious how come we as a country are so obsessed with like giving gift cards instead of cash. Gift cards are cash with homework. They are cash with strings attached. Gift cards are cash with fine print. A gift card is kind of like a store saying, hey, we're going to take your money, but we get to choose where your friend gets to spend it. But on the other hand, why is it if you give somebody cash, sometimes they look at you like you just walked into their kitchen and kicked their cat? It's like, oh, no, don't give me money. Give me a $100 plastic card that forces me to go to a certain store or restaurant. That is so much better. Cash doesn't expire, and I don't lose it like I lose gift cards. Man, do I lose gift cards. And don't get me started on the billions with a B, the billions of unused gift card money that will never be redeemed. That's like giving money to the big corporations. That's your money, and they're keeping it. Gift cards. Would you say that they are kind of like the financial equal of buying somebody a puppy with the instructions, you can only feed it at this one restaurant? Is that an interesting take? I am cash's king. It's always been king. King Cash has never and will never go out of style. And speaking of gifts, I'd like to make a recommendation, something for you to consider. How about we make it a tech-free Christmas? How about this Christmas we not buy anybody any smartphones? We not buy anybody any headphones or earbuds? We not buy anybody any tablets? Let's not buy anybody anything with a screen on it. Just think for a second. I know that's probably what's on the list that people want, but I also know that you give gifts because you love people. And I don't think when you love people, you want to give them things which ultimately are going to harm them, which are not in their best interest. And it's undeniable that in our society today, we have this extraordinary problem with digital addiction. Adults, of course, can do what they want, but know what the impact is. I think more obvious, and I think more obviously damaging than among our young. What if you, as a parent, you have the little baby sitting there and you put the little cartoon on the phone and you hold it down in front of the baby all the time? CPS ought to drag you away. Just being honest. Or you get that smartphone your 12-year-old wants, and that little happy 12-year-old with a brand new phone, you just sent him out there in the wild world with the wolves and the monsters and all the bad things that could happen. Not just from the bad people online, but something happens to the wiring of the human mind when we stare at a screen, when we get drawn into this little world that we hold in our hands. People withdraw. Young people, especially, they get these big headphones. There's nothing in the outside world they can hear. And they look at their little screen. And before long, there's nothing in the outside world that they experience. And it just ends up getting worse and worse. And there are all sorts of problems. Isolation, depression, anxiety. A lot of bad things come from this, like a very difficult time forming real relationships, time lost working in school, And, you know, after that, the whole launch to adulthood, there are great difficulties. We're not wired to stare at a little device we hold in our hand. So, again, Christmas coming up, Hanukkah's coming up. For those who do like Kwanzaa, is there gift giving there? Whatever it might be, if you're going to wrap something up and give somebody a present, let it be a present that will enhance and not entrap them, right? Enhance, maybe physically or mentally or socially. What if you got a kid a bike or an adult, not a cell phone, a bicycle, and you get on it outside, you ride around, you get exercise, you see and appreciate the world. You can go places and visit friends, whatever. A bicycle or a book. A book builds the mind, teaches you something. Maybe take you on an adventure. Go meet Harry Potter, whatever you want to do. Or a BB gun or a deck of cards. I don't know if Monopoly is a big deal anymore. Actually, it was dull 50 years ago. But there are all kinds of games where you're interacting and playing cards and drawing pictures of the things. Not games where I'm stranded on a screen and you're staring at a screen. Enough said. I'll shut up about that now. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend. Get those Christmas decorations up. I'm John Potter. I'll have the news for you on the middays here, weekdays, on these radio stations. And I'll talk to you again next Saturday morning, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Bye-bye.